Welcome to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast with your host, Catherine M. White, founder and CEO of Accelerated Results 365. If you're an overachiever who's ready to hear what today's bleeding-edge, successful professionals are doing to create success in their business, you've come to the right place. On the show, Catherine interviews rockstar achievers who share their incredible tips, such as how they plow through roadblocks, outsmart the competition, grow a flourishing business, and reach unparalleled levels of performance. So kick back and get ready for a power-packed, insightful discussion with today's Rockstar Achiever.
Welcome to the show today. I have a special guest that I invited on the show today because when I met this person and got talking, I found out that this person shares many similar qualities and values that I have. In the reason that I started my business and the reason that I run this podcast show. And so I just thought it would be a fantastic opportunity to bring someone on with such wonderful values that I connect with and let you as the listener hear from him some of those values and how they can be incorporated into possibly what you do in your life, your career, or your business. So without further ado, I would like to introduce on the show Nelson Griffin, who is the Senior Vice President of Supply Chain for Red Lobster Seafood Company based in Orlando, Florida. In his current role, he is responsible for leading all the supply chain related activities for the world's largest casual dining seafood restaurant company, which operates restaurants throughout North America. His team is responsible for over $900 million in food, beverages, and other supplies, including kitchen equipment, product distribution, and travel services for over 700 units. In addition, Nelson oversees the total quality department that is responsible for food safety, product quality, and restaurant inspections. Now, Nelson has a history that led him up to what he's doing today. Prior to Red Lobster, he actually joined the Darden Restaurants, Inc. in October of 2011 as Director of Poultry and Commodities Purchasing, and later served as the Senior Director of Land-Based Protein Purchasing. Before joining Darden, he was the Director of Strategic Procurement for Kellogg's in Battle Creek, Michigan. And prior to that, he spent 19 years with Cracker Barrel Old Country Store, Inc. in Lebanon, Tennessee, serving in a variety of roles, including Vice President of Purchasing. Nelson is originally from Kansas City, Kansas, and a veteran of the U.S. Navy, and we, of course, would like to thank him for his service there. After his military service, he attended Eastern Oklahoma State College and completed his B.S. in Business Management through the University of Phoenix. Nelson and his wife, Teresa, currently reside in Orlando, Florida, and are proud parents of two sons and a daughter, and he says an even prouder grandparent of a 8-year-old grandson. Nelson, welcome to the show today, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Catherine, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be with you today.
You're welcome. So in your introduction, I noticed that I was introducing you as having worked with the Red Lobster, but prior to that working with Darden. But Red Lobster is actually part of the Darden family. Is that correct?
It was originally that actually Bill Darden started Red Lobster 50 years ago. We were sold to a private equity firm, Golden Gate Capital, though, about 4 years ago. So we've been independent from Darden since that point.
Oh, okay. I did not realize that. So I would like to share a real quick story about my first experience at Red Lobster.
Okay.
So I was pregnant with my first child, 20 years old, and my first time eating at Red Lobster, and I will have to tell you, when you're pregnant, it is not the time to try new food. Fortunately, nothing major happened, but I just thought I tried lobster for the first time, and I did not like it.
Yeah.
And
is that the last time?
You know, it actually the last time and also the second time was more recently, just a couple of years ago, when I left my full-time job. Some of my coworkers gave me a nice little farewell lunch, and we went to Red Lobster. And so I decided that it was time to try some lobster again 20 years later. And I love it. I love it. And I love Red Lobster. So it's an honor to have you here on the show. Besides the fact that you work at Red Lobster, I'm happy to have you here individually as a person.
Thank you so much. Again, I'm very excited to have this opportunity as well.
So thank you. And you're welcome. And Nelson, tell us a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you're at today.
Okay, I will do that. As you mentioned, I went into the military. I joined the Navy immediately following high school. That opportunity to go into the military was really important for me, especially for helping really build a foundation of understanding how to work with people from a wide range of backgrounds. I left Kansas City and went to San Diego, California as a kind of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed youngster, and ended up in a unit with people from as far away as the Philippines. One of my bunkmates was from Idaho, and a wide range of different personalities, backgrounds, and perspectives. And what we were taught is how to integrate into a well-oiled machine that taught each and every individual how to rely on one another, but more importantly, how to live up to your own personal responsibilities in order to ensure that the team was successful. Even beyond that, one of the first areas of responsibility I ended up with after basic training was working on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier, which was even more focused on the efficient application of all of the practices and instruction that you were given, but it was really the application of those skills all day, every day, in order to make sure that pilots were launched off the flight deck safely, that they returned safely, but also that everyone working on that flight deck was put in a predicament where they could go home to their family. So that foundation really propelled me to really begin to think about where I wanted to go professionally. And while I was in college, I started working in restaurant business, and many of those same foundational principles became really apparent to me that I had to work with a wide range of different personalities, different age groups, and ultimately providing a level of customer service that exceeded expectations for those customers coming in and producing high quality food. I'm a bit of a foodie at heart. I love to eat, as a lot of us do. Mm-hmm. But I also enjoy the preparation of the food just as much, and the experience of providing a great meal for people, either in my home or in the workplace, has always resonated with me as well. So that really launched me into working in the restaurant industry. And because of, again, many of those foundational principles I talked about of working in a respectful way with a wide range of different personalities and forming a strong, cohesive unit was something that I tended to excel in. And so that helped me begin a journey of success that I would describe as really been focused on others and being of service to others, which allowed me to have teams that outperform many of my peers. So that really was kind of the launching point to speak to your question.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about teams that outperform your peers, are you referring back to when you were in the Navy, or are you talking within your career in the restaurant industry?
I started in the military. The unit I was a part of in basic training won a number of awards. I was one of the leaders, got assigned to be one of the leaders in that group, which started to help foster my leadership skills and dealing with conflicts and all of those types of things. But yes, throughout my professional life, I've been very successful, whether that was as an individual restaurant manager. And many of the things that you talked about, and as you read my bio, getting promoted from one position to another, all of those things were a result of achieving really strong results within the guise of enabling those that I worked with to continue to grow and ultimately be the best that they aspired to be within the framework of the particular job that they were responsible for, and really coaching those individuals when necessary, but also making sure they had the tools and resources to really help the organization I was a part of be successful.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead with your question.
Do you have an example of a time where it was just very challenging when you were working with somebody, either an individual or as a team, where you just wanted to hit your head against a wall?
Yes. When you've worked as long as I have, you've always encountered challenging situations. But I could speak to the transition most recently with Red Lobster when we were sold to Golden Gate Capital. The team that I was assigned to lead, most of the individuals had worked at Darden Restaurant in a variety of different roles. Most of them had no real interaction with me, so I had to bring together this team of about 30 individuals who had worked for a different organization, a little bit shell-shocked that they were assigned to go to this new organization owned by a private equity firm that they knew very little about. They knew very little about me. In many cases, they were asked to not only perform a job that they had some experience with at Darden, but because we were a brand new organization, if you will, we had to ask them to take on broader responsibilities because we had a smaller team. And we had to have a group of generalists that were capable of handling a variety of different things. And so within that situation, I had, again, 30 new personalities who didn't know each other. There was very little trust. There was a lot of apprehension. There was a fair amount of concern about the future of Red Lobster. Typically, you're not getting sold if you're not in a situation where the business is not performing as well as it was capable of. So I had to work really diligently to create an environment where that trust began to form. And I started out by being very transparent about who I am as an individual, my entire background. I literally went from my birth. I was actually given up for adoption at birth and went to a foster system. And I took my new employees, all 30 of them, through a scenario which I called All About Me. Because I wanted them to understand who they were going to be following. Obviously, our CEO and other leaders in the organization were part of it, but the real crux of it was their day-to-day lives were going to be influenced by my vision for what success looked like, my ability to really help them be successful. So I thought it was really important to begin to establish that foundation of trust right out of the gate. So I spent about an hour and a half on just who I am and how I view the world and why I felt that I had the right plan of action to help us be successful, to form this brand new independent supply chain, help the company launch out on its own, but more importantly, help them become a cohesive and highly functioning supply chain despite the unusual set of circumstances that we were facing. And I went through a great deal of information about my expectations in terms of striving for excellence in all that we do and taking personal accountability for the team's success. And I really talked a great deal of clarity around the team and the importance of being a team. And so I think that investment of time on the very front end, I talked about the importance of being on time. Again, I'm a military person, so I expect people to be on time. I expect them to look their best. I expect them to come in with the appropriate attitude about let's get the work done, because I often say I want to operate complaint-free zones, because the attitude helps propel success. If you look for the worst in the situation or in people, you're pretty much guaranteed to not be successful. Mm-hmm. And I have feedback on a consistent basis. Even yesterday, I had someone tell me how important that investment of time was for them when they first started. And I continue that practice today when we have new employees join the team. For whatever reason, we hired new employees or we have to replace someone, their first or second day on the job, they get that hour and a half or more with me. And I take them through the same thing I just talked about. Here's who I am. Here's why the culture of this supply chain is set up the way it is. Trust is important. We're going to support you. We need you to support the team because this, we spend almost as many hours in the workplace as we do with our families, at least awake hours. And it's important that we treat each other with respect. We demonstrate integrity in all that we do. We operate within a hospitality industry. So being hospitable is a big part of the approach that we take within our supply chain. But oh, by the way, we are here to help Red Lobster be the best it can be. We don't make money at our corporate office. We make money in those restaurants. And so it's important that we come in every single day trying to do all that we can to help our restaurant operators win at what they do.
Mm-hmm. That's very impressive, Nelson. You don't see that in a lot of organizations as a whole, not just the restaurant industry, but every industry, that we are lacking so much of all those qualities, all those values that you mentioned. We are lacking in so many areas. Like you, I love how you talk about trust being the foundation. And you made that your priority. You knew that you would not be able to be successful with your team until you built that trust with them first.
That's correct. And I strive to be the leader of choice within our organization. I want the supply chain to be the place that the best talent in the organization aspires to work in. And so being visible about who I am, being clear and transparent about the expectations and what excellence looks like, allows people to remove at least that fear and anxiety about the unknown. Because when you know, I'm a big fan of Simon Sinek and his book, Start With Why.
Mm-hmm.
That was really, really the driving force behind me sitting down and going through all of those things, is to help them understand the why of who I am, which ultimately frames up how I face the challenges of the workplace each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are really what help me make decisions. They drive how I establish a vision and mission for the team. So all of those things, I believe, help each and every one of those individuals. And then beyond that, I invest a significant amount of time throughout the course of a business year in all 30 of the individuals that are part of the team. I have one-on-one meetings, obviously, with my direct reports quite frequently, but I meet at a minimum of twice a year one-on-one for an hour or more with everyone. And that time is really about them. I don't expect them to come in with a prepared presentation about what they're working on. It's really a conversation between that individual and myself about how they are doing. Are we meeting their needs? I typically start out the conversation with, if roles were reversed and you were doing my job, what are one or two things that you would change to help us operate more efficiently?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want that constant interaction and feedback, but more importantly, I want them to understand that it's a safe environment. They can talk about things that aren't working well, things that they're excited about, things that they're concerned about, and we'll have an honest conversation about those particular points of that they're concerned about. And every one of those conversations is a learning process for me. I speak to whatever questions they have about the business, about their future, about the organization's success, whatever it is that they're wondering about, they have an opportunity to sit down and talk to me about it. And I usually do this. Sometimes we go to Starbucks for coffee, try to make it as informal as I can so they are comfortable. A lot of times when you're sitting down with an officer at my level, it can be a little bit unsettling for people. So I try to make it a comfortable interaction. And as you know, a couple of times, and after that, it's very easy for them. The other thing I consistently explain is that I have an open door policy. My door to my office is almost always open unless I'm in a one-on-one conversation with one of the individuals. And when that happens, I turn my computer off. I put my phone in my desk. My assistant knows not to let anyone interrupt me unless it's a crisis. So that interaction, again, is about the individual. And it really resonates with my team, and they appreciate it, and it's really helped us achieve really significant improvement for the organization.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine everything that you've said. And I'm also very impressed with how you bring them in and you turn things around in a very, very unthreatening way. And have the key question you asked, are we meeting your needs? How many companies sit down and ask their employees that? It's rare.
I agree. It's certainly not enough. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Definitely. So part of what really strikes me is when I first met you, I don't know if you recall, I shared with you about my program Power, P-O-W-E-R-R. And I incorporate a lot of the same values that you're talking about right now. So I really resonate with you on that. And my vision with that program is that imagine the difference that you are able to make in the lives of the people that you work with. Those 30 team members that you have, imagine the impact that you make, not just in their working life, their career, but when they go home to their families, to their friends, what you do for them carries on through their personal lives and their families and such. And
yes.
And imagine, mm-hmm. right? Absolutely. I mean, mm-hmm. what kind of difference do you think that makes for them?
Yeah, it has profound implications on them. One of the other things that I would share with you that I think has been a real positive for me, with my direct reports, the first 2 years we were independent from Darden, it required a significant amount of effort, as you can imagine. That I say quite often it was the hardest I've ever worked is helping set up a new company. We call July 28th of 2014, we call it Red Lobster's Independence Day.
Oh.
But we had to essentially start from scratch. Didn't have a payroll function. We didn't have payables, even a payroll department of IT. So all of that stuff, we had to start from scratch. And many of the things within supply chain, we had to start building out what we wanted to be and how were we going to get there. And oh, by the way, keep 704 restaurants supplies and everything they need to take care of our guests.
Mm-hmm.
And the first holiday after that, I guess it was about a year and a half into it, the following Christmas, I wrote a personal note to all of the significant others of my direct report. And I thanked them for being a very important part of our team. I thanked them for the effort that their significant other had put in the past year and a half. And it really made a difference. And I talked a little bit about each one of them in the note about what they had specifically done to help us be successful. But I really felt that their significant others needed to understand that I knew that they had to sacrifice an awful lot in order for us to be successful. And I cannot tell you how much of an impact that made on their, each one of them came up to me to say, I've never had that happen before mm-hmm. in my professional life. One of my team members, a female, her husband, said she had worked at Darden almost 20 years and no one had ever thanked him for being a part of the team. So I knew that that went a really long way. And I can't tell you how good that made me feel at the same time, helping them feel really special as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to thank you for being that kind of person that takes a stand for others and acknowledges people. That's huge.
Thank you.
And, you know, I think about that in my vision for my own business in making that kind of an impact on people. And, you know, I think about if everybody could go to work like that and be appreciated, what a different world we would live in.
Without question. And I am a firm believer, if you, as a business owner, whatever your business is, if you take really good care of your team members will take really good care of your customers, whoever they are,
mm-hmm.
because their attitudes will reflect the treatment that they are receiving. And so I have seen that time and time again when I was operating restaurants personally. That was such an important part of it. My especially the servers that went out in front of the house and interacted with the customers who were coming in and out. When they felt like they were appreciated, that they were valued, that the management team knew who they were and what their lives were all about, they were much more interested in providing a level of service to the guests that helped us bring them back time and time again. So it really does make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I'm kind of at a loss for words. I'm just in such awe of everything that you've shared and hearing that there are people out there. I mean, I know there are people out there, but it's just so rare that we hear this type of a philosophy within an organization, and a large organization at that. You see it a little more commonly in smaller owned companies, like family owned mom and pop shops, right? But to find that in a large company like Red Lobster, it's just so rare these days. And it puts me in so much awe that, wow, it is out there. And I love to hear that.
And the fact of the matter is, I would not be able to be successful in an organization that didn't expect certain behaviors from the leaders, because it would be in such conflict with how I want to lead my team members. I would not stay in an organization that didn't allow me to be the best leader I can be. And so I am also a reflection of the environment, certainly a culmination of a lot of different experiences that I've had, but I certainly am supported in all that I do to help my team be successful by my boss. I report to our chief financial officer. He's an outstanding leader. Our CEO is a values-based leader. So it allows all of us to, I think, lead with the type of integrity that I'm describing. I certainly think that, as I said before, I strive to be the leader of choice in the organization. However, there are a number of folks who working in the organization, striving to be very, very good at what they do and treat our employees with the type of trust and transparency and respect that I've tried to articulate here today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's really important there and what you're saying about being the best or the leader of choice is that when you say that, you're not saying that with the intent of I'm going to do whatever it takes to be that person in a negative way, but you do that in a very humbling way.
Yeah, very absolutely. Going back to my comment about what I tell people early on when they start an organization, I tell them I follow the principle that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that simple statement, I think in the beginning, people were, it's easy to say, is he really going to live up to those principles? And I think that I would have a long list of people lined up to say, yeah, he walks the talk day in and day out, because they consistently outperform my expectations. And they know they're very high. And they come into my office quite often. And I have a whiteboard that's in my office behind me, and I talk about the importance of not being victims. Victims make excuses. But leaders get results. And that's really what I'm focused on. I know that our jobs day in and day out are to get the type of business results that help us succeed as a company. Red Lobster has 55,000 employees. But the supply chain is not really a business enabler or what we like to say is a competitive advantage. Then we're going to struggle to be as successful as we'd like to be in this a very competitive environment. So I hold my team members to a very high standard of performance. I'm very quick to course correct if they are not on the right path. However, I will do that in a way that is helping them grow, because I tell them quite often, I anticipate that you're going to make mistakes, because if we're not pushing ourselves and stretching the boundaries of what we do, we're not going to win. Change requires a little bit of pain and suffering many times, mm-hmm. but you get better by changing and evolving. And so we have to, especially in supply chain, our jobs are to drive innovation and create cost improvement by eliminating waste in the system. And so I am relentless about that day in and day out. But again, it's within the framework of what I talked about earlier, and that is leading with integrity, leading with caring, and doing that day in and day out. And people want to be held accountable. They want to be pushed to their limits in terms of striving for excellence. Mm-hmm. They want to be recognized when they win. They want to be supported if they make a mistake that was based on positive intention. And I am well known for standing up for my team members. And I always tell them, I'll take the bullets for you as long as you are doing the things that we talked about and working to help us be successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I already loved Red Lobster, but you have like my full 100% support. And I am now Red Lobster's biggest fan, or one of Red Lobster's biggest fans.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that tremendously. And it is, you know, I have a little plaque in my office that I look at every day, and it says leadership is about them, not you. And that, I firmly believe that, and I have it there so people can see it. They expect me to live by those principles. And I am really proud of the direct reports. I started out with 6 direct reports. I still have 5 of those 6, I believe, still there. And I have seen the growth and evolution in their leadership style, because you know, the shadow of the leader affects the organization, be it for positive or for negative. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really proud of the team that I work with and their growth as leaders. And they continue to exceed my expectations on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
It's been really something I'm proud of.
Yeah, that's definitely very rewarding to be able to watch that, yeah. I imagine.
No question. Mm-hmm. And as a leader, our biggest responsibility is to build a successful team that is capable of stepping into shoes that I as a leader feel, right? Succession planning has to be a major part of what we do. So I work really hard on making sure that individuals who are already leaders, so getting challenging projects to work on, they're getting external training, they're getting internal coaching and guidance as well, so they can continue to grow and be prepared for bigger, better things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you have shared so many nuggets of wisdom around, specifically around the area of team building and building people up to create cohesiveness. And it is my desire, Nelson, that many people will listen and hear that and learn from you. Because as I had said before, when we take those principles into our career and we share those with others and we treat people with that respect and we build that trust, and we acknowledge people for their, what they do, well, the good things they do, it makes such an impact on not just in the workforce, but in our world as a whole. And so I really appreciate you and people like you, and I hope that we see many more of those.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity to share some of my perspective on the importance of being an effective leader. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rockstar Achievers Podcast. If you are looking to reach new levels of success by plowing through your roadblocks, outsmarting your competition, growing a flourishing business, or reaching unparalleled levels of performance, go to www.acceleratedresults365.com or email Catherine at catherine@acceleratedresults365.com and learn how you can get started with Accelerated Results 365 today.